Good afternoon. Welcome to Mitaki Green Chapel. This morning, in our Japanese service, we have a service outside, actually along the river. So once a year, we have this service outside. And it was a good time. It was kind of windy. Yeah, it's getting chilly, you know, but it's a good time, yeah. And probably we should go out today for English service too. Look at that. Beautiful. Beautiful today. Amen. This afternoon I'd like to preach from the Gospel of John chapter 4. I should read from verse 1, but if I read from verse 1 to 25 or 6, some will go to sleep, so I'll cut most of them, and I think most of them know this story and this text. If never read this story, please read after service. But let me read from verse 19 to 26. Sir, the woman said, I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. Jesus declared, Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know. For salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshiper must worship in spirit and in truth. That's all. What did you expect when you come here today? Many people come to church on Sunday for a time of spiritual refreshment, a time when the worries and concerns of the world, the struggle of the other 6 days of the week can be put aside and sense of peace can be regained. You have come to re-energize yourself, to gain strength from being in the presence of God with other believers and ready to go out into the world for another week. Some of you came out of sense of duty. No. Coming to church is a part of your life and you just don't feel right if you do not do it. For some, it is the one place in your life where everything does not seem to be in confusion. Some of you came because you like the feeling of community, of being a part of something bigger and better than yourself. You appreciate being a part of something where you know you will be accepted once and all. Some of you have come for less noble reasons. Some of you are here because your life is in a mess and you think maybe being here will score points with God. Some of you are here merely due to the insistence of your parents, your spouse, or your children. Although some of those reasons have merit, none of them should be our reason to be in a worship service. there is a huge difference between attending church and coming to worship. We should have come here today quite simple to worship, because you are a worshiper. This afternoon, we look at the story of the Samaritan woman at the well, just I read. Then through this story, I'd like to give you a short message about the attitude or what the worship should be. Make the long story short, the woman, she's Samaritan, and the Samaritans has the place called Mount Gerizim, and they thought that is the place to worship because they hate Jews and they hate Jerusalem. They thought they are the true sons and daughters of God. But when she met Jesus, Jesus said, place is not important. Not neither on this mountain means Gerizim, nor in Jerusalem. That is a strong statement for the Jews. Jesus said, Jerusalem is not the place for worship. Probably the other Jew heard this statement, they will throw the stones and kill Jesus. What? Jerusalem is not the place to worship? But Jesus clearly declared, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. Still, the people all over the world, not only the Jews, but the other, some Christians too, they thought Jerusalem is the place to worship. And they want to build the temple again and wants to worship on the David's mountain or the place Abraham sacrifice his son. But Jesus said, no, place is not important, which means you can worship the Lord. You can worship God anywhere. And also Jesus said, the kinds of people are not important. Of course, Jesus said, verse 22, Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Of course, the salvation from the Jews. Who start the salvation? Jesus himself. However, the salvation spread out from the Jews, the Samaritans, the Gentiles, Americans, Filipino, Japanese. He knew. So he said, everybody can worship the Lord. Your race, skin of colors, language. All kinds. But the Jews, this is the strong statement too. What the Jews believed at that time,
Jews, only the Jews can worship the Lord because they are the ancestors. They are the sons and daughters of Abraham. Of course, the Gentiles can be the Jews. They got the circumcision, and if they obey the law of Moses, they can worship. There are many conditions can worship the Lord, the worship God. But Jesus said, everyone can worship. However, this is important. Verse 23, true worshiper, the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. The true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. Some have thoughts that the Spirit here refers to the Holy Spirit, but this seems unlikely. It is true that the Holy Spirit is involved in our worship, but this is not what Jesus is speaking of. He is surely referring to the human spirit and saying that true worship can never accomplish in what is merely outward. The worship related to inward, inside. So the place, kinds of race, outside, outward, never related to the worship. Verse 24 says the acceptable worship is in spirit and truth. In spirit and truth. Some translators, including the KJV, read in spirit and in truth. But in original Greek, there's only one in. The preposition is not repeated before truth. In other words, Jesus is not saying there are two things we must do, worship in spirit and in truth. Instead, it is one complex idea. We must worship in spirit and truth. The two go together and make up the one acceptable attitude. As John Piper states, together the words spirit and truth means that real worship comes from the spirit within and is based on true views of God. Worship must have heart and worship must have head. Worship must engage your emotions and worship must engage your thoughts. That's good. Notice the word must in verse 24. God is spirit and his worshiper must worship in spirit and in truth. Jesus is not saying merely that it would be a good idea for people to worship this way. He's saying that it is only acceptable way to worship him. In the book of John, there are three musts. John 3:7 says, you must be born again. 3:14 says, the Son of Man must be lifted up. And John 4:24 says, worshipers must worship in spirit and truth. These verses set forth the necessity for the new birth, the necessity of Christ's death, and the necessity of true worship. Does it surprise you as it does me that verse 24 ends with the statement that the Father actually seeks individuals to worship him?
Let me read verse 24 again. God is spirit, and his worshiper must worship in him and in truth. Must worship in spirit and in truth. If worship is so important, is there any way to improve the way to we improve the way we go about it? I want to give you four suggestions of how to offer God your best. One, make your worship God-centered. Make your worship God-centered. Worship is really not about you. Have you ever left a service with a smile on your face and said, "I was really blessed by today's service. I got so much about it." Or left the service all grumpy saying, "Boy, that was a waste of time. I didn't like the music. I don't know what the pastor was talking about." It is because we have lost sight of something very important. Worship is not primarily for us. We may benefit from participating in public worship, but it is not for us. Worship is for God and God alone. The question should not be, "What do I get out of worship?" But rather, "What can I give to God? What can I give to God?" When we try to worship God with an attitude that is all about us, we find ourselves coming to the service focused on music or the instruments or on who is doing the preaching. We come like Olympic judges ready to rate the event. Sometimes it can be difficult not to focus on ourselves because we come so broken and worn down by life that we can see only our own need. We feel so empty and so shallow that we look to how we can be helped by God. But in worship, the aim is to so lose ourselves that we'll be filled. For it is worship where we forget ourselves, we will be restored. It is true that we find ourselves re-energized by worship, but it is not the reason that we are here. Number two, prepare your heart beforehand. All of us see the necessity of making physical preparations. We bathe, dress, put on deodorant, comb our hair, and brush our teeth. And I'm glad. Those are all good things, but the truth is that none of that will help you worship. Of course, it's important. You guys dress well today. But what you have done to prepare your spirit to worship. Louis Giglio says, "Most of my life, I thought that you went to church to worship. Most of my life, I thought that you went to church to worship. But now I see that the better approach is to go worshiping to church." How's that? Not go to church to worship, but to go worshiping to church. Number three, listen carefully
to what God is trying to say to you through the message. Of course, this our service, most of the time Pastor Chris preaches, sometimes me, sometimes Pastor Kevin, sometimes no preachers. Maybe some people have some, you know, frustration. We should have a particular preacher and have a preaching every Sunday from one preacher and one series. But it's impossible for our church. But the worship, that is not the attitude of the worshiper. We come to worship God, which means we come here to listen to His voice. God speaks through the Word of God, no matter who preach, no matter how preach. So listen carefully to what God is trying to say to you. God speaks sometimes with loud voice, sometimes through with the small voice, sometimes when you're sleeping on the chair today, in a dream, like prophets. The prophets hear the message when they're dreaming, right? So I don't blame you when you're sleeping, because I believe in God. God is speaking to you when you're sleeping. God has His own way. But please, come here or go to the churches when you attend the service. God trying to say something. God is trying to say something. Sometimes through the worship time, singing, prayer, testimony, message. But the point is your attitude. Like boy Samuel did. What he said, "Lord, speak to me." Right? The point is the attitude of your ears in your heart. If you're ready to listen, God speaks to you. No matter who preach, me, Chris, Kevin, others, because God is speaking, not me. I might look like God. Maybe, thank you. No, please. Number four, determine to be a participant and not just a spectator. Very important. We watch football games, we watch baseball games, we watch concert, we can even watch church service on TV. Not in Japan. So we come to church, we come with the mindset that we can watch it happen here too. Yet I want to challenge you today to try something. I believe that if you be more involved in service, listen to what the words that you are singing, pray for those who lead the worship services, I believe that you will begin to see your sense of worship evolve. Worship is a verb, not noun. Worship is a verb. Worship isn't something you watch, contrary to thinking of many of us who attend church. Pastor D. James Kennedy defines what happens in most churches. Most people think of the church as a drama, with the preacher as a chief actor, me, God as a prompter or director, the congregation as the critic. What is actually the case is that the congregation is the chief actor. Chief actor, you guys. The preacher is the prompter, and God is the critique. Louis Giglio, in his book on worship entitled The Air I Breathe, gives this excellent definition of worship. I read this as the summary of this sermon. Worship is our response, both personal and cooperate, to God for who He is and what He has done, expressed in and by things we say and the way we live. Amen. Let me pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for today's lesson. Thank you for the teaching from Jesus Christ. And we now start thinking about how we worship you. And we repent that our attitude as a worshiper, we sometimes hear to just sing and listening. But Lord, we want to be a part of worship. We want to be worshiper. Because you are our creator, you are our father, you love us, you sent your only son to save us, Lord. Lord, please change our worship. Change ourselves as a worshiper, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.